Green Bay Packers wide receiver Jordy Nelson hosted his annual charity softball game on Sunday. And while the result of the game is immaterial, the most important thing is Nelson didn't get hurt. We'll talk about the game with Joe Zenzola, producer of the Bill Michaels radio show. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're wrapping up the Jordy Nelson celebrity softball game. In addition to that, we're previewing Packers minicamp that happens later this week. And to do those things, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
Pardon me, had joined us on the phone. This is a pre-recorded interview. But I talked to Joe Zenzola, producer of the Bill Michaels radio show, about all sorts of Packers topics, including the Jordy Nelson softball game, including minicamp coming up. So we're going to cover all sorts of ground here. So listen in. It's a great interview. I think you'll enjoy it. Right now, we're talking to Joe Zenzola, producer of the Bill Michaels radio show, as well as jack of all trades for 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Joe, I'm glad you could repay the favor, so to speak, and get you on our show.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Brian. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We're going to talk about several topics here heading into Packers minicamp, but I wanted to start with what you make of the so-called James Jones rule enacted by the NFL prohibiting players from wearing hoodies. Joe, do you think this is really going to increase safety in the league?
Not really. I mean, when you think about it, first of all, the hoodie itself, it's sticking out over the back of the name, and that right there shouldn't be an issue at all because officials are looking for the number. Now, the only way that this could become an issue is if you got knuckleheads out there who want to take a cheap shot and want to bring a player down by pulling the back of their hood. Otherwise, I don't really see how this has been a problem, Ryan. I mean, James Jones looked pretty good out there with the hoodie. No one was giving him problems with it. And if someone were to do that, if someone really were to go out there and pull the hoodie, the NFL knows better to fine them, you know, give them a personal foul, and you throw them out of the game for that matter. I don't see how in any other way this could actually be a hazard for a football player unless someone wants to take a cheap shot.
For what it's worth, do you think James Jones has a future in the NFL this season or beyond? He's been a free agent now for several months, and there hasn't been a whole lot of interest. Is he going to sign anywhere in the league, with or without the Green Bay Packers?
You know, it could be possible that he finds a job somewhere. I think many Packers fans out there were a little disappointed in his production last year. And granted, you know, James Jones on the back end of his career, but considering all the injuries that went down with the wide receiving core, you thought James Jones would step up and make some more plays. And actually, with that hoodie, he actually was able to do that. Aaron Rodgers was able to see him better. But regardless, James Jones, he could find a job. I mean, injuries are so common in the NFL, and you never know when a team may need to go out there and try to get that vet that can kind of fill the void midway through the year. I mean, who knows? If the Packers find themselves in the same situation, God forbid, they may have to call back James Jones for another tour of duty. And then, you know, he already knows the playbook, so he'll fit in right well. But here's the thing. There are other wide receivers out there that also haven't been signed that I would actually put ahead of James Jones. I mean, I know Anquan Boldin is out there, Greg Jennings, Roddy White, Andre Johnson. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that could be asked of their services before James Jones. But, you know, James Jones is a good dude, and I know if someone needs him, he'll sign, he'll take that money.
Amazing, is it? There's quite a few Pro Bowls among the players you just named off there at wide receiver, so that is remarkable that they're still on the market. But speaking of wide receivers, Jordy Nelson's celebrity softball game was this past weekend. Every year, Joe, I look at the event's home run derby champion and wonder if that will translate to success in football. Do you think that's the case that, you know, not just the home run derby champion, but success in another sport can translate to football?
You know what? I don't think so. You know what? Events like this, it's all about charity. It's all about the kids. It's all about great causes. And for a lot of these players that are participating in this, this is a perfect opportunity for them to bond. I think that's where you can see a translation, because you've got guys from Aaron Rodgers to Clay Matthews to Julius Peppers, and then you've got other guys from like Peter Mortel to Robertson Daniel to Geronimo Allison all playing in this thing. And, you know, you're not on the practice field. You're not focusing on the playbook. You're just having a good time with some of the veterans. And that's what it's all about. You don't need to go out there and play your all. Just have a good time. Get to know some of these guys. And then once you get into mini camps and you get into training camp, I think it'll be better from a communication standpoint. You know what these guys are about. You know their personalities. You know their habits. I think that's the only advantage that I can see. Otherwise, you know what, if a guy goes out there and hits three home runs in a softball game, I don't expect him to go out there and be a, you know, a Pro Bowl-type caliber player the following season.
Good point. Good team building activity, if nothing else. But kind of a related topic here. Do you ever worry at all that a player could somehow get injured or hurt in an environment like this at a softball game?
Yeah, you know, wouldn't that be funny if, you know, we see freak injuries all the time, and it always makes for great sports talk if someone goes down with an injury, you know, at any kind of charity event, or if they just go out for a run or a game of pickup basketball. Everyone's like, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Look, stuff happens. It happens all the time. I think with the Packers, when they play, you know, in these kinds of events, they know not to go all out. They know better than that. Even someone like Jordy Nelson. I mean, it's his softball game, and Jordy Nelson claims that, oh, yeah, I could, if there was a football game this Sunday, I could play in it. But I think Jordy Nelson also knows better not to go 100% when he's trying to run the bases, because he's got to take it easy. He knows better. And the rookies, too. I mean, think of all the rookies that are trying to compete for jobs right now. I don't think they're going to want to go all out as well. They don't want to risk anything. They don't need any setbacks. If there's a setback in mini camp or in training camp, that's really going to put you behind the eight ball. And then after that, you might be screwed. You may not make the team because of it. So I think these guys just want to have fun. And don't go 120%. Just don't do it.
We're talking to Joe Zanzola here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Joe, as we get ready for mini camp this week, we get to see three Packers rookies, Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, and Kyle Murphy, all who haven't practiced in a public setting yet this year as they fulfilled their school obligations. Now we get to see them now that mini camp's beginning. How much do you think that time away from the team puts them behind the eight ball?
You know what? I think in the scheme of things, Brian, it doesn't make that much of a difference. I mean, some of the rookies that are, you know, participating in the OTAs, they get a little bit of an upper hand because now they've already gotten to know some of the veterans. They've gotten to know the coaches a little bit. They're familiar with the playbook, so they get the upper hand. But I also don't think the Packers are leaving guys like Kenny Clark and Kyle Murphy, Dean Lowry in the dark. I'm sure they've got to be sharing playbooks. They've got to be sharing them some information about the team and what they're preparing for, so at least they can study for it, and when mini camps come around, that they can go ahead and they kind of know what to expect. I mean, the big thing for them is getting to know, some of the guys in their position groups, and then going out there and actually participating in the drills. But again, even after mini camps are over with, they're going to have a nice long, you know, grace period of them studying more the playbook, getting to know it, and then when they get in for training camp, I think they should be on the same page like all the other rookies. That really doesn't concern me.
Yeah, probably not a huge deal. Maybe a minor leg up for the guys who have been there, but that's about it. But speaking of Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry specifically, how much of an impact do you think these players can have on the Packers' defensive line in 2016?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think it all hinges on health, because if someone like LaTroy Guyon or Gateson Jones goes down, or these guys are going to be asked to step up. It's going to be the next man up philosophy. With Dean Lowry, I think it would be a surprise if he got some starting time and he went out there and performed. My expectations with Dean Lowry, it's no offense to Dean Lowry, but my expectation level isn't all that high for him. And if he works out, if he's able to be a guy and he can make plays, get some stops, come well off the edge, then, fine. That doesn't bother me at all. Kenny Clark, however, we've seen Ted Thompson's history of first-round draft picks, and, you can argue it's a 50-50, 60-40 type success with these first-rounders, but, Ted Thompson drafted Kenny Clark for a reason. I'm not the biggest LaTroy Guyon fan. I mean, Guyon's good. They gave him that extension, but I think there might be a point, whether it's in training camp or during the regular season, where if Kenny Clark can step up, can make an impression on this coaching staff, he might be that starting nose tackle over LaTroy Guyon. And if that's the case, I expect Kenny Clark to go out there and make some plays, be able to, stop the run, be able to plug a hole, be able to take on two offensive linemen. It's just Kenny Clark's going to have to hit. I'm not expecting him to have a Pro Bowl-type season, but he's got to have a good first year. The Packers need all the help they can get right now if they want to get to the Super Bowl.
I can buy that. But changing gears a little bit, Joe, I'm curious to get your thoughts on John Schneider, who recently shared on a podcast talking about how a mock draft influenced the Packers in their selection of Aaron Rodgers, got a little bit of attention this week. As we know, Packers general manager Ted Thompson tends to downplay things like mock drafts when the media asks him about it. But do you think they might have a little more influence than general managers let on?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Ted always tells us that he never gives away the treasures of the kingdom up here. And you know what? And I'm not going to dispute what John Schneider said, because Schneider was there when they took Aaron Rodgers. I think, in my opinion, Brian, they don't look at other mock drafts. They don't look at the Mel Kuypers or the Todd McShays, what they have. Maybe there are some NFL teams that do that, but I think the majority don't. What they are trying to think about is, worst case scenario, what if one of these top five guys, and I think there is a consensus around the league of who's going to be a top five pick. If you're the Packers, if you're drafting 30th overall, there's some guys up there, there's just no way they're going to fall. But what if some crazy circumstance happens and they do drop and they are available at pick number 30? What do you do? And I'd like to think that in 2005, that was the case with Aaron Rodgers, where they could have said, look, what if San Francisco took Alex Smith instead of A-Rod? Could Rodgers fall all the way to us? And if he was there, would we take him? Or is he really the best player available? Can we find someone who can be more of an immediate impact somewhere? And maybe that's what happened. Maybe Ted said, yeah, I like Aaron Rodgers. Let's take him. He would definitely be my best player available. Even though Brett Favre was still, kind of in his prime, and he still had a few more years to play in Green Bay. None of that really surprises me, but we know Ted. He has an eye for certain things, and draft picks that he's made over the course of time, especially in the first three rounds, sometimes you scratch your head like, really? It looked like he kind of reached for that guy. He really thinks that guy's the best player available. But that's how Ted thinks, man. He does have different perspectives from what, the masses believe and, where these rankings are. So nothing would surprise me, but I think Ted, for the most part, he looks at the what-ifs, but I don't think he's always looking at mock drafts every single day.
Yeah, I think it was more just a coincidence more than anything, where it's not like they're seeking out mock drafts, but they're just sitting around watching TV and one comes on and gives them something to talk about and gives them a little bit more time to prepare. But maybe, Joe, is a good way to conclude our discussion here today. If you could, just give our listeners one player you would watch at minicamp this week if you were in Green Bay and were interested in tracking that player's development. Who would it be?
You know what? I really like Blake Martinez. You know, we had him on the Bill Michaels show not too long ago, and just a really good kid. He stays out of trouble. He doesn't drink. Very well spoken, very intelligent. You know, the stats speak for themselves from Stanford. He could be one of these guys that Ted Thompson hits on right away. And again, that inside linebacking position right now is up for grabs, I believe. I think Sam Barrington is probably a lock just based on experience, but I don't think Jake Ryan, I don't think he has that locked in just yet. Martinez, if he really impresses in minicamp and training camp, he could be that starting inside linebacker. That could happen. And Mike McCarthy had said in OTAs last week that he was really impressed with how far Blake Martinez has come along in these last 3 weeks of OTAs. You know, he's understanding the base defense, the sub packages, and he also knows that he's been a pretty good communicator out there with the defense. He's been echoing a lot of calls. So when you're getting that kind of recognition from someone like Mike McCarthy, that goes a long way. So I think if you're going out, you know, to mini camps coming up, go take a look at Blake Martinez. He could be a big surprise this year.
Sounds good. We'll watch for Blake Martinez this week. But Joe, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate you getting on the show here and giving your insight and your analysis. We appreciate it, and we'd love to have you again on sometime.
Anytime, Brian, and I'm sure I'll be contacting you for your services as well on the Bill Michaels show.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. Joe Zenzola joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Glad to have him join us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Perhaps appropriately at an event hosted by a wide receiver, the Packers offense beat the defense 30-28 on Sunday at the Jordy Nelson Celebrity Softball Game. Pretty much a football type of score, too. 30-28, that's a high-scoring softball game. But as I mentioned earlier, the most important thing is that the host of the game didn't get hurt. Something on the forefront of the mind for many, for a player coming off a season spent on injured reserve with a torn ACL. But apart from the result of the game, I think it's always interesting to look at the athletic feats from the game. And admittedly, I wasn't there, but according to reports from the media and social media, here are the highlights. As we just talked about with Joe Zenzola, the winner of the Home Run Derby was cornerback Demaryius Randall, who hit 5 home runs in the final round. And I guess that makes sense, right? For a guy that played baseball in college. And if you don't recall, Demaryius Randall originally went to junior college for baseball before settling on football and eventually transferring to Arizona State. So, yeah, it makes sense. And he reportedly had a diving catch during the game as well. So congratulations to him for that accomplishment. And in the game itself, the offense won the game on a walk-off home run by tight end Mitchell Henry, who reportedly went 7-for-8. He had 5 home runs and had 12 RBI. And just as Joe Zenzola alluded to during our interview, it might be a stretch to think that success on the softball field will translate to success on the football field. But I think hopefully here we're just seeing another good all-around athlete. I like seeing stories like this. Because it's the guys like Nelson and Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews who get all the attention as, you know, obviously the best all-around football players. And while Henry, meanwhile, is unheralded. And hopefully we're just seeing a good all-around athlete, perhaps someone that will emerge in his second season in the NFL. Because there's room for a third tight end on the roster to claim a spot. I mean, obviously, I think Richard Rodgers, his spot on the roster is is, I think, secure, even if his, role in the offense maybe is a little bit more up for grabs with the addition of Jared Cook. So I think, Cook and Rodgers will be the number one, number two tight ends. But beyond that, I don't think anybody's really locked in for a roster spot. Maybe I think people are hoping Kennard Backman, the draft choice from last year, will emerge, but I don't think that there's no guarantees he will or guarantees he's going to make the roster. So a guy like Mitchell Henry certainly could step in his second year in the NFL after a year spent of development on the practice squad, and he could emerge and step in and be that guy. Hopefully is kind of a dual threat tight end that can both catch and block, things like that. That would definitely be a welcome addition to this Packers squad. But anyway, speaking of tight ends, Richard Rodgers was reportedly the only player to hit a home run over the fence at the baseball stadium. And so if you've never been to this event before or seen highlights on television or whatever, they install like a temporary fence for the softball game. That's obviously in shorter than the baseball field, and people kind of stand behind the softball fence and can catch home runs and things like that. So rather impressive for Richard Rodgers to hit one out of the baseball stadium. I think that's impressive at least. And finally, for what it's worth, long snapper Rick Lovato, just days after bowling over 200 in the Packers team building event this past week, he was runner up in the home run derby and had four home runs in the game as well. So hopefully you're seeing another good athlete there too. So I kind of like that, hearing about the unheralded guys like Mitchell Henry and Rick Lovato standing out in the softball game. Hopefully that could translate to the football field. I'm perhaps not expecting it will, but I hope it can at least. And Demarius Randle too. So there you go. There's some highlights from the game. Just touching one more thing. If we're talking about Packers news and things that happened in the past week or so, I guess I just have one more item here, in that we talked about the apparent rule, and I don't want to say changes because it's apparently a clarification. We talked about Joe Zinzola, about the James Jones rule, in which hoodies now are outlawed by the NFL. And while I don't think this is really any big deal, I have no problem with it. I was, to tell you the truth, when I first saw James Jones wearing a hoodie, I was kind of surprised it was allowed to begin with, just because I thought, well, it's kind of like the horse collar rule, and it would be easy to grab for a defender to grab the back of a hoodie and pull a player down. Even unintentionally, I think it could happen. So anyway, I saw at an article at Pro Football Talk that they interviewed an NFL spokesman and clarified, because all of a sudden Mike Pereira shares this information on Twitter, which is how it all got started, and people just started calling them rule changes. And the NFL spokesman wanted to make sure this is not a rule change. This wasn't something voted upon by the NFL. It was kind of an unforeseen circumstance that the NFL just simply clarified the James Jones rule. And not only that, they also had the clarified another kind of Packers related rule, in that they clarified the coin flip. if you remember the Packers playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals in the divisional round of the playoffs, in overtime, the coin didn't flip. You'll remember Cleet Blakeman was the referee, and Aaron Rodgers was out on the field as one of the captains. And Aaron Rodgers apparently wanted to change what he was going to call when the coin flipped and didn't have the opportunity to do so. And anyway, the NFL just clarified that they go with the captain's original coin flip call. He will not ever get an opportunity to change it, even if the coin doesn't flip in the air. Again, I mean, these are things that you don't really anticipate happening when you put saying in the rule book. You talk about when you talk about a coin flip, I guess the assumption is that it will indeed flip, that they don't really have to go over the contingencies if it doesn't. But apparently they do. Now they do. So that is in place now by the NFL, in that they will reflip the coin. But the captain's call stands, whatever it was originally. There will be no opportunity to call recall heads or tails or whatever. It goes with the original selection made by the captain. So there you go. There's some rule changes in the NFL if you want to talk a little football instead of softball here this morning. But that leads me into the next topic here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, today, let's put it this way. One reason minicamp starts on Tuesday and not on Monday is that today, Monday, when the show is being recorded, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers hosts his annual golf invitational. It's a fundraiser for the American Family Children's Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. We talked about this on the last episode because it was actually Sunday night last night where he held kind of a dinner at the Monona Terrace in Madison. And anyway, the golf, though, the invitational, it takes place today at the Legend at Bergamont in Oregon, Wisconsin. Sorry, the event is not open to the public, but it is for a good cause. But as far as mini camp goes, it will take place when Mike McCarthy gets back to Green Bay on Tuesday. And as we talked about with Joe Zinzola earlier, it will be the first appearance by a trio of Packers rookies, most notably first-round draft pick Kenny Clark. So you can imagine he'll get a lion's share of the attention on Tuesday when the Packers hit the practice field once again. So, I mean, this segment of the show is to prepare you for what's to come. And you can imagine tomorrow, Tuesday, you know, when they get back to minicamp, a lot of the reports you're going to see in the media, you know, the published reports, they're going to focus on how does Kenny Clark look? Because, you know, it's going to be his first practice in a public environment, because, you know, he, by NFL rule, in which he had no choice over, those schools that are on the quarter system, they require that they finish out the semester. And you know, a lot of schools that aren't on the quarter system, that are simply by semester, they finish, you know, like late May. So it's not a big deal. These guys can take part in practice and things like that. But for players like Kenny Clark and Kyle Murphy and Dean Lowry, they had to return to school and finish things out, finish the semester out, which, you know, is not a bad thing, but they've missed, you know, several practices. They were around. They do allow them for the annual rookie orientation camp that takes place during a weekend. So they, you know, presumably or presumptively wouldn't miss any school time for that. So they were around for that, but that wasn't open to the public, if you remember. That was behind, I think it was open to the media, but not open to the public. So this would be the first time, you know, Kenny Clark is practicing in front of a pretty substantial practice audience. I mean, when you practice, you know, typically, you know, you can imagine in college, there weren't many people looking on. Now all of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of eyes on you as the first round draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. So we'll see how Kenny Clark performs under that pressure later this week, along with Dean Lowry and Kyle Murphy as well. So they'll be in the spotlight in a very short amount of time, and there will be a lot of attention focused on them this week at least. And that'll conclude the Packers offseason program, actually. But we'll talk more about minicamp on Wednesday. We'll kind of see what happened on the practice field on Tuesday, talk about it on Wednesday. In fact, already got next week's show. I'm preparing for that, or next Wednesday's show, to talk about what happens on the football field. So excited to do that. And we'll see you then. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. We'll see you, folks. That'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. And my call to action, as usual, as always, if you've not done so already, would appreciate if you gave us a rating or review on iTunes, because this show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you could do us a solid, just go to iTunes, search Cheesehead DB. It'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but we'd appreciate if you'd write something, because it helps people find the show. And that's our goal here, to reach as many Packers fans as possible. So thanks, folks. We'll see you on Wednesday and talk some more Packers football. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Kirvu. Thanks to Joe Zanzola for being our guest on the show today, and we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Can't Wait Another Day by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go. Every night I pace the hall, just waiting for your call, anticipating your next move. It's got me bouncing off the wall.